Hey, this is Mark Killian from Mark Killian Music. You're listening to Wild Man and Steve.
You are about to listen to the intersection of faith, talk, and music. The Wild Man and Steve Show starts right now.
Steve, you probably noticed today that because the election season is in the air and voting is in the air, that we tweeted out from our accounts, Wild Man and Steve 2024, make rock great again.
Yep, so, I saw that.
Yes, I wanted to ask you, since we're going to, it is a real thing, by the way, listeners out there, we are running in 2024 to make rock great again. So, Steve, I'm going to put it off to you to open the show tonight to explain to everybody what our campaign promises are to make rock great again 2024.
Absolutely. So our campaign promise is to put hard rock and heavy metal in the home of every American. We believe that every American has a right, a constitutional right, to good, God-fearing, God-honoring rock and roll. And if you vote for the Wild Man Steve ticket, we will see that you have that in your home.
Yes, absolutely. That's the first part, is in the home. And then it's going to be in the culture. Like, for example, the Super Bowl halftime show. Come on. It's got to be rock and metal this in 2024, right?
All rock all the time. Absolutely. Yep. And part of our campaign pledge is that the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame will induct only rock and roll musicians.
Oh, I opened up a can of worms there, didn't we, Steve? Yeah, you sound like you're passionate about that. That are you assuming that some musicians have been accepted into that do not fall into that category? Are you?
No. I'm not making assumptions. I'm making a flat out statement. In fact, I'm making a statement that some people have been inducted who may not even be musicians.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, if you heard that, we forgot to edit out part of the show tonight, so we apologize for any of those Black Eyed Peas, Justin Bieber fans, all of that that's out there. You know, we apologize to you. So anyway, folks, that was the opening for tonight, so rank that opening, 1 being the best and 10 being the best. Hey, Steve, did you write the script for our new Girder music commercial?
I did.
Did you make me sound good?
I did.
Did you make me sound real good?
Well, I can only do so much with the material I'm given to work with.
Wait a minute. What are you trying to say, sir?
Look, I'm not the guys over at Girder Music. I mean, they can take anything and make it sound great. Like what they did with the Keith Green box set.
You're right about that. And when the music is already some of the best on the market, like Keith Green stuff is great, and they're the first ones to bring it back.
Well, no kidding. And on top of that, their packaging is second to none. I mean, take a look at the red and black or yellow and black splatter vinyl editions of Disciples Back Again, and this might sting a little.
Or what about that red swirl vinyl of Bride's classic album, Snakes in the Playground?
And as you said, they just make the music sound so good. I mean, you mentioned the Keith Green box set, but whether it's Petra, DeGarmo and Key, Rez Band, Rick Kua, or really any of your favorite Christian artists, when you get your music from girdermusic.com, it's guaranteed to sound and look fantastic.
So, can you make me sound good for our next commercial?
I'll tell you what, Wild Man, if you tell our fans about Girder Music, you will sound great.
There it is, folks.
Head over to girdermusic.com today and find the best in Christian rock and metal. Their sound is the best in the business.
This is the part of the show where everybody's on the edge of their seat when I introduce Mr. Segway, otherwise known, a.k.a. as Steve Perkins, Latin metal, Latin teacher, rock and metal enthusiast. But what's interesting tonight is that tonight is very symbolic of the first time you did your Segway. The first time, and you've done it ever since. So I turn it over to you now, Mr. Segway. What do you have for us tonight?
You know what, man? I was thinking about our audience, and, you know, our audience is everybody, right? Young and old. But there's a fair number of people that listen to us that are our age. And shall we just say that that is a mature age? And those of us at a certain age, we remember a show from the 70s called Good Times. You remember Good Times?
Oh, of course. Yeah. Absolutely.
One of my favorite sitcoms, you know, keeping your head above water, making a wave when you can, temper.
J.J. Walker. Yeah.
J.J. Walker's where I'm going with it. J.J. had a slogan. It was so big in the 70s because that show, because he would always come along and go, Dynamite!
Dynamite!
And I was thinking,
folks, that's exactly how he does it too. Steve just
really Dynamite. So I was thinking about this, and I'm thinking, you know, the Nazarites were the people that were just completely wholly devoted to God, right? I mean, they just were completely sold out and just, you know, body, mind, and spirit. You knew that these guys were God's people. And I thought maybe we could take something from that and adopt that as a slogan for us, that we could go around saying, Nazarite!
Really?
Yeah.
Was there anything that sparked this interest at all in that term?
No, not really. I just was thinking of it. You know, the genius machine is always in the on position with me.
Well, so. Yeah. And Mr. Segway, ladies and gentlemen, he strikes again, because if I could go back in time, about 2.5 years ago, 2.5 years ago, we opened the show. It was like our third month doing the show. And I said, Steve, how are you doing today? And you said, and if I may quote, I got to tell you, I'm feeling chaotic. And that was the beginning of Mr. Segway, when we had Chaotic Resemblance on. And the reason Steve said that, folks, is because we have Travis McConnell and L.A. Ellis from Chaotic Resemblance with their great new project called Nazarites with us tonight. So welcome, men, and how are you doing tonight?
It's good to be here. We're doing excellent.
Now, we already asked our listeners to rank that opening, and I don't think I've ever done this before. Some of our guests have ranked the opening without us even asking, but I'm just going to go ahead and put it out there, you know. So where would you rank that opening?
Well, I think you definitely have a couple votes, at least from that kind of campaign zeal.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Yeah. God fear and rock and roll.
Yeah. All right.
I mean, we need the fear of God back in rock and roll.
There you go. There it is.
There you go. Yeah, absolutely. Now, just real quick before we get to the real heart of the interview, rank Mr. Segway.
Oh, he's a 10.
Whoa, 10 digits. That's classic throwback with the God-fearing touch.
Yeah.
it was Dynamite. Nazarite.
funny story for you. We were in a music video contest for a certain tour that had a certain meeting in a certain city. Some of you will know, but in this contest, we had to cover this song by one of their associates, and we did, and we put it to the tune of
TNT,
and so we would sing Dynamite.
Yeah,
it was Dynamite.
Yeah, Dynamite, power of God.
Not as
Dynamite. Yeah, it said Dynamite.
Yeah, it said Dynamite.
They reminded me of that too.
So how did that go over then?
Yeah, we won.
Yeah, we won.
What else do you need, right? There you
go. It was dynamite.
Yeah.
I gotta say, you guys are a little younger than we are, and so you may not have known that show I was talking about. And shortly before this episode that we're recording, LA, you just had a birthday.
Yes, just a few days ago.
Oh,
yeah, saw that on the old social media. So official Wild Man and Steve, happy birthday.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's pretty much all you get from us, you know, an official. Just a verbal statement. Yeah. So you guys have been very busy, obviously, with this new project with Nazarites, which is why we have you on tonight. So talk to us about the project itself. Where did it start? We'll get into the writing. We'll get into everything. Whatever direction you guys want to go tonight, the show is yours. We're turning it over to you. Welcome to the Chaotic Resemblance Show with Wild Man. Yes. Talk to us about the project.
Sure. All right. Well, this album was birthed out of last year, kind of getting more busy for us as a band. And we're doing more of our thing. 2020, we did a little bit. 21, we did a little bit more. And at the end of 21, our hearts were just burning for the Lord more than a long time, if ever. And we were just listening to so many people that minister the gospel and that love the Lord, and we were getting charged up on Him. And towards the end of the year, we really felt a calling to go full time as much as possible, to really take it seriously, more seriously than we had. Not that we weren't being fruitful before, but we definitely had the hard call to be like, hey, you guys got to go. You guys got to bear fruit. You know, we don't want to be a tree that just uses up the ground, but we want to bear fruit. And so we said yes to the Lord. We postured our heart in that way, and He started downloading these songs to us. We already had a couple. Hosanna, Travis had since like way back when. We had Surrender kind of already. We had Driven already. The rest of them just kind of poured out on us super fast. And I mean, the Lord was like, Surrender came out of a dream when we woke up, and or I woke up, and He kind of pinned it down verbally, and then we got to write it. Oh goodness, yeah, we would hear riffs, we would hear words, and we would just write them down pretty much. So the Lord wrote the album. We just were the person He used. Yeah.
I'm going back and forth. I've got the Zoom screen up here, and I'm also flipping over to our website, wildmanandsteve.com, and I'm taking a glance at the review of the album that we posted here a while back. So I make no bones about the fact that I am a ridiculous fan of you guys. Ever since I first saw you back in 2016, as a part of Rocktoberfest in Indianapolis, opening with Stryper and White Cross and Bloodgood, or Stryper, White Cross, and Petra. And you guys were there. That's where I first came to know you and or see you. And I thought, oh my goodness, who are these guys? This album is, and the only reason I hesitate is like, I just don't think people know how good this album is. I find myself going back to this over and over and over again. It's just, it's raw. It is aggressive. It's everything that you would have come to expect from Chaotic if you've listened to you guys from the beginning. Get the Hell Out. I mean, come on. With an album with that title, you know this is going to be something aggressive. This just takes it to a whole nother level. I think in terms of lyrics, I think in terms of the music and the production, it is just 10 out of 10 all the way through. Talk to us what you were hoping to accomplish lyrically. We want to talk about lyric. We want to talk about music. We want to talk about all of it. Start us off, though, lyrically. You mentioned about, getting a song in a dream, a couple songs that you guys had for a number of years. There is an overarching theme that I get from the album as a whole. I'm curious what you guys were going for lyrically with the album.
Yeah, so with the lyrics, man, it's been burning our hearts for a while, and it's nothing against people who don't write this way, but it just takes me back to, it's in Luke 10 where you got Mary and Martha, and Martha's serving the Lord and Mary's sitting at his feet, and he tells Martha that Mary has chosen the better part, the good part that won't be taken away from her. And we have this hunger, this thing inside of us that's burning, this desire of God to have the one thing that won't be taken away from us. And we've wrote about all the other things in the name of Christ, but we didn't use the name Christ. So is it really Christian if you don't use the name Christ, if it's not about Christ? And so the more we started to fall in love with the Lord, the more we were like, man, why would we want to sing anything? To sing anything else is so inferior. It's ridiculous. And almost, in our opinion, just started to feel like an insult to what God has done in our lives and how good he is. And honestly, I mean, we're guys who we love worship. We love worship. Like when we're not on the road, we do worship nights. We love posturing our hearts that way. And it's been something that's been burning for a long time in my heart to, man, there's not like a big, it doesn't seem like there's very many bands in other genres who write with this upward posture. You know what I mean? It's very outward. It's very, we're talking about, and it could be good things. It could be very evangelistic, and that's fine. This is just about where we're at. We came to a point where we're like, man, he's the great evangelizer. Mm-hmm. If we minister to him, he ministers to them. And this thing just came upon us where we're like, you know what? I'm not writing any more songs about what I'm going through. I'm writing songs that are from him, to him, by him, through him, and for him. I just want to write to the Lamb. Yeah. I want songs that are going to touch his heart. And that's where the whole theme came from. The reason we named the album Nazarites, there's a song on there called The Nazarite. We had a prophetic word over us years ago where the Lord said that you're my Nazarites. And that's why I say in the song, we are your Nazarites. I'm talking to the Lord. We're your Nazarites. And I remember that word, Lord. I remember what you said. And I say yes to that invitation. I do. And not only that, but we call the album Nazarites because it's an invitation for others to come into this separate lifestyle, to put away the things that aren't holy and to live a life that is pleasing. You know, Peter said, he said, be holy as I am holy, quoting the Lord. Like, that is our heart. We want to be so pleasing to the Lord. We want to be completely sold out to him. And And that's what a Nazarite was. They were wholly set apart, like you said, unto the Lord. And it's not just because we have long hair or because we don't drink. That's not why we named the album them. That's great things. We love long hair, and we don't drink. But the whole deal is it's all about separate lifestyle, living, laying down the things of everything else, and living a life that is beholding the Lord. And I believe Christianity, it's not so much about behaving as it is beholding. It's not about trying harder. We have a minister that we both love named Corey Russell. He says, it's not about trying harder. It's about looking longer, and how true that is. And that's the heart of this album, man. There is one who sits on the throne, surrounded by 10,000s of 10,000s, and he is holy.
You guys get that so well. And there's two lyrics from two of the different songs on the album that really get that for me. First off, the opening to Driven. The opening just... I love it so much, I can't stand it. I'm driven by fear of the Lord. And then when you hit that expel, all hell. Boom, and then the music comes in. I'm driven, I'm living by the fear of the Lord. I'm living, I'm driven by the fear of the Lord. Compelled to fail by the fear of the Lord. Expel all hell by the fear of the Lord. About and then in The Quick and the Dead, you've got the question, are you baptized in the red? And I'm going, first off, what a both of those are such metal lyrics. I think, you know, any metal fan would just be banging head like crazy, going, yeah, this is awesome. But then it's conveying such truth and such invitation, exactly like you said, naming the album Nazarites, inviting everybody to step up and to live that set apart life. So lyrically, just it is out of the park. Man, ask a question, because otherwise I'm just going to go full on fanboy and start gushing.
Hey, so. I'm glad that you said that about being metal lyrics, because we'll write something and, you know, our hearts are bleeding to the Lord, and we'll look over at each other and be like, dude, that is so metal. Like when you get to Passover and it's like when the angel of death comes through, will he pass over you? We're like, that is so metal.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
And you know, we've said on the show for a long time now, that the rock and metal is the best way to get the gospel message out, because it's because of the power of that style.
And it, when you say that's so metal, I remember in the growing up and listening to Christian rock when it was first becoming popular, and it was controversial, and some people didn't think it was really Christian, and there were some issues you could make a case for. But I remember I started going down the road, and many people started to adapt this, that scripturally speaking, that rock and metal, all styles of music are given to us by God. And then it's Satan that warps them, right? He warps God's creation. And so I remember a song that Larry Norman did, and then Jeff Moore in the distance redid it, called Winning Back the Rock. And that was one that I really loved, was the idea that we're winning it back to where it's supposed to be. It should be in God's hands. So that's refreshing for us to hear you talk the way you do, because as you kind of alluded to earlier, there's a lot of artists out there that are even label themselves as Christian that aren't as bold in their lyrics, and they're not as passionate about ministry as you guys are. So it's refreshing to hear that. So I want to talk about ministry for a moment. So what you just described is ministry. You're talking, God's called us to go into this as full time as possible. That's ministry. And everybody knows, if anybody's had any type of experience in ministry at all, whether it's just personal, pastoral, whatever, there are challenges in ministry. Okay. And so I want you to talk just for a moment about what are some of the challenges that you have met, and how were you able to overcome them? So you might encourage somebody else out there that's listening right now.
Definitely. I think the biggest challenge in ministry, in my opinion, and you know, I'm not the most seasoned guy out there in this. I have been around my whole life, but both my parents were full-time ministers my whole life. And so I've been around it forever. And but there's definitely people who have way more wisdom on it than me. But this is just my personal opinion and my limited experience, is keeping unity and keeping peace. That, at least to me, it's not just a challenge, but it's one of the most important things. And sometimes that's the hardest. And when you're a minister, I know, like for me personally, like even being married, it's easy to look past your family, look past your wife, look past your team, and because you're always thinking about the next one, you're like that movie, the Ridge,
Hacksaw Ridge,
you know, where he's like, I got to get one more, and you have that heart, and it is good, but at the same time, I heard Maddie Montgomery say once, and I so agree, that sometimes leaving the 99 for the one is leaving the 99 for your spouse, you know, going to spend time with your family. And like, for me, there's been so many times where I've been so like thinking about the person over there, where my wife has talked to me and she's been like, Travis, you're not even paying attention to me, but mm-hmm. I'm trying to hear God's heart for this person, because I can feel that God wants to touch this person. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to hear him, but at the same time, I'm not being a very proactive husband. And so weighing that is very important. I think that's where it comes important again, the importance of living a holy life, being the same when you're on stage, off stage, at home, in the bus, whatever it is, because then your family knows, okay, they get it, you know. And then that same thing though for the team, how am I going to go out and evangelize like we do, and then get back in the bus and be a jerk to my brothers? That would be very hypocritical, but I've done it. And we've all done it. Logan does it the worst. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah.
Hey, I have to work with Steve every time. So, you know, that's just the way it is.
But for me, that is the most important. That is the biggest challenge, because we are so all determined, because we have heard the Lord. And we know what the Lord has spoken. We know what he's promised. And we know what's on this ministry and on our lives. So the greatest attacks we get are always from the within. They're always like trying not to do this. And the best way to combat that is the Bible, spending time in the scriptures together. And one thing we started doing on our last big run was we started taking communion together. breaking bread at the Lord's table. And that, you know, just, you want to talk about unity. I mean, when you see the early church, almost every time they gathered, it talks about they'd gather in to break bread. And when we gathered and started breaking bread, just the unity at the table of the Lord's meal, man, that just did so much wonders. But for me personally, that is what I would say is the biggest challenge, because, you know, sure, we've had the demonic come against us. We've had everything like that you can think of. We got stories for days, but I mean, you resist the devil, he flees. You know, at the name of Jesus, every demon bows. But to love your brother when they're not being lovable, that's the challenge. And, or you get back in the vehicle and you've just seen 100 people give their life to the Lord. You get back in the vehicle and for some reason you're being grumpy and you gotta go, whoa, 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 whoa. You know, because the deal is like, you can, like I said, you can resist the devil. You can do all these things, mm-hmm. but you got to crucify your flesh. And you can't crucify your brother's flesh for him. You got to just be that example and love him through that. So I hope that makes sense. I know it's a long-winded answer.
Oh, absolutely. And it, you know, you mentioned with crucify the flesh, your friend and ours, Les Carlson. I think about that famous third album from Bloodgood, Detonation, and the one song, you know, Battle of the Flesh, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely, the battle of the flesh there.
Join us next week for the conclusion of this interview with Travis McConnell and L.A. Ellis of Chaotic Resemblance on the Wild Man and Steve Show.
The Wild Man and Steve Show is now partnering with New Release Today. Find out more about them at newreleasetoday.com. And don't forget to check out our website, where you can also leave us a review at wildmanandsteve.com.
Sounds like rock and roll to me.